Would you turn with me back to the passage we read there, the book of Psalms and Psalm 18, and the first three verses of this psalm. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And that theme is taken up at the very end of the psalm again, when he says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O God, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. When Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, addressing some of the problems that he had there, he sets out for us a very important principle that applies in our worship. He there says in Corinthians that there has to be that understanding of what is said in worship so that people can put their amen to what has been said. And if there's people speaking in tongues, then that facility is just simply not open to them to put their amen to what has been said, because they don't know what it is. And that principle that Paul gives to us there in Corinthians, specific as it is to tongue speaking, it applies also to every aspect of our worship. We have the Psalms as the vehicle of our praise and the expression of our worship. They're in our memories. We can quote them. We have them in our minds. But do we understand what they're saying and where they're coming from? And do we understand them, how to apply them to our lives? We need to go back to the portions that we're familiar with and see where they come from. Their history. Who's involved in speaking? What is it they're speaking about and addressing? And what is being taught in them? This psalm, Psalm 18, it's one of the longer psalms in the psalmody. And it's helpful because of its length to try to find a key that would give us structure and understanding to what David is saying and help us to unlock what it is saying to us through David. Some kind of a crucial experience, perhaps, or some kind of a central truth that holds everything together. And here we have in Psalm 18, it's as if David is, he's not far down the road of life, but he's sufficiently far down that road of life that he can be pictured and portrayed as sitting upon some rocky outcrop. He surveys the path of life that he's already traveled along. He has experiences he's been through. And as he looks down the valley of his days, so he's able to pick up this one, that one, the next one, of the ways in which the Lord has been good and gracious to him, given him victory, protected him and preserved him, supplied for him his needs in a time of distress or trauma. The way in which the Lord has been good and merciful to him when he faltered or when he went astray and aside. So many different experiences that his eye now picks up on. And as he gathers them all together, so here he is giving to us a song of thankful worship and praise. He is conscious of what God has done for him. And he's giving to us the consequence in his own life and bringing the challenge of it to ourselves. It's the same kind of process that we find in other psalms, Psalm 116, for example, David is doing exactly the same thing. I love the Lord. Why? Because he heard my voice. There we have the Lord inclining and hearing David in his need. His prayer being answered. And as a consequence, David committing himself yet again more fully to serving the Lord. In this psalm, as we said, he looked down the valley of his days, and it is physical. It is physical deliverance and blessing that he has seen, spiritual blessings also beside them. But for ourselves, we can do exactly the same as David is doing. We can look down our days and we can see that mixture of the same things in our lives. Times when the Lord met with us and blessed us and met our need physically. And then we can see other times when it was a spiritual need that was uppermost. And there too the Lord was present to meet us. And as we become aware of the scale of what the Lord has done for us, as we become aware of the cost to the Lord of doing these things for us, the way in which they are freely bestowed upon us, we can take time to draw out the various strands that are the rope of our life. We can draw out all of these different strands and use each one of them not only to stimulate our worship, but as it's given to us here, strengthen our love and dedication to the Lord. With these three words, these three verses, what I want to do is simply to go through them as the key against which the rest of the psalm can be looked at and read and understood. And I want us first of all to think of the way which David is given to us here, a strong determination. He says, I will. There is a determination in these words that we've got to pick up on. He's had one or more uplifting experiences, something physical, something spiritual. What has been the effect of these things upon him? What have been the effect upon us of the same things from the hand of the Lord? And they come home to him and they produce this resolute commitment from him. He has had a great experience of peace, perhaps, where once he was profoundly disturbed. He's known times when danger threatened him and the enemy roared against him. And in these times he had a sense of the Lord's presence and an awareness of the face of the Lord being lifted upon him to calm his soul in the midst of so much trauma, testing, and tribulation. He goes over these things. And as he goes over them, each time that he does, he tastes a little bit anew something of what the Lord has done for him. It's the same kind of process we've seen. We already looked at Psalm 116. This time consider Psalm 103. The way in which the psalmist says, bless the Lord. Why? Because he's the Lord who's done this and that and the next thing for me. Who's pardoned my sin. Who has saved me. Who's redeemed me. There is that cumulative effect. Building them all up as they come to bear upon his soul. Here then is the same process. The panorama of God's goodness to him. The depth of God's care for him. And let's not just leave it at David, because we can put every one of ourselves, if we belong to the Lord, into that same formula. And we can look back over our lives with the same features picked up by ourselves of His care, His goodness, His interest in us. That love of the Lord to us that makes us sometimes stop in our tracks. So great, so amazing is it. David, therefore, has not forgotten what God has done for him, nor is it superficial, simply on the surface of his life. The situation that he's been through, especially the most recent ones, they're real, they're fresh. Something of the danger of them is still there vividly in his mind. The emotions and the experiences have not yet been consigned wholly and exclusively to his memory. Things that he's been through in recent days, and the ripple of them is still in his life, producing this determination in him: I will. He takes no credit to himself. He's conscious of quite the contrary, of his own weakness and frailty. In verse 17 he says, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them who hated me, for they were too strong for me." Henry V, after the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, he was determined to acknowledge where his help came from. And on the battlefield, the order was given that they were going to sing Psalm 115. And at the very start of it, he knelt. And as he knelt, so all of his army did the same, recognizing and acknowledging that it wasn't from them that the victory came. It was from the hand of the Lord. Not an army, not his captains, but from the God who is in heaven. And in these quiet moments, David reflecting, looking back, in these quiet moments he was able to read more clearly his own book of life. Our lives ourselves are so busy, taken up, going here and there, and the pace of life can sometimes be so frenetic that we are dragged along with the tide and the current of life. And we need to do exactly what David is doing here, to take time out just to look back and to think and to be aware of how much the Lord has done for us. And as we engage in that same exercise as he did, so the effect on us will be the same as on him. It will produce that determination and that resolute, that resolve. I will do this. And the lower one sinks in difficulty. The lower one goes aware that there's no help from ourselves, when that help does come from the Lord, it produces a much greater and deeper appreciation. Verse 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." His determination. But we can still linger a bit longer there and tease this out. Why was David so ecstatic, enthusiastic? Why was he so energetic and fulsome in what he was saying in praise of his God? Why? Because David's life was often, if not always, on the edge. There were constant dangers and threats to him. It wasn't just simply a one-off occasion or one-off experience. It was the beat of his life. It was the rhythm of his life for such a long period in it. that he was constantly under threat. His life was always on the line. It wasn't a mild danger either. It was his very life that was on the line. Wave upon wave upon wave. If you go for your own benefit to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and then briefly go through in one sitting to chapter 31 to the end of the book, you'll find there that time and time again there's that threat against David. There's javelins, there's enemies, there's betraying, there's so much goes against him. One direction, then the next, and then the next. And all of it so often is Saul hounding him and chasing him. His life was on the line, on the edge. But also he was aware of something else. His life was in the hands of his God. Psalm 31 and verse 50. My times are in thine hands. In heaven, just as on earth, there is an alarm sounded when one is in danger or goes missing. We know it. We've seen it in other places. We've looked at it very simply in the papers and the media. When somebody is missing, family are turned out, friends are called in, the community gets involved. So therefore, when the cry reaches heaven, David is in trouble. We find here God deploys thunder, lightning. David's there going through trouble and difficulty. But the Lord is deploying agency upon agency and resource after resource on his behalf. What a tremendous truth we're given here. This is the kind of God we have. This is the kind of God who is interested in his people and looks over and looks after his people. Go back to these chapters I read in 1 Samuel 18 through to 31. Go through them and read them in one sitting. There's no mention there and then of thunder, of lightning. There's no indication then of the world being shaken and disturbed as we have it described in this psalm. But then, when David looked back over these experiences from a distance, and when he looked over them with the quietness of God's Spirit upon him, showing him and teaching him, then he saw the way in which heaven's resources were mobilized and deployed for his good and his well-being. And perhaps that moment when the spear was thrown at him, the javelin was thrown at him, David might have been at that moment thinking that he's alone, he's vulnerable, he's weak. But now, looking back, he can see the way in which the forces of heaven itself were there protecting him, delivering him, and keeping him safe. His life was in the hand of his God. And when you see that kind of deployment by God, when you see God stirring up, and not just simply stirring up creation and the forces of nature, but he himself is entering onto the field. Verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy. God did it. Now that kind of deployment gives to us an indication of worth and value. Why would God go to that extent? Why would God go to that degree of commitment? For David, for you and for me. Why? The only answer comes back is because in his sight, we are his precious children. That's the kind of fuel that fed this determination on the part of David. His life was at peace. Yes, God rescued him. God's resources were deployed against the enemy and fought his behalf. God gave him rest, bringing him out, we're told here, in verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. Instead of being confined and cramped, God brings him out into a lush place where he's at ease and relaxed. And all of that, as we said, because the delight that he has in David. Verse 19, he brought me forth into a large place, yes. But the rest of the verse, he delivered me. Why? Because he delighted in me. This determination then that David brings for us and challenges us. There's nothing forced about what he's saying and sharing with us. This is simply the reflection of his life, and it just bubbles up inside, bubbles up and comes out of his soul. So many different ways the Lord has helped him. And we can do the same thing ourselves. We can see the way in which the Lord's hand is stretched out for him, but also for us. The way in which he is a God of mercy and of grace and of goodness. A God who especially is faithful to his word and to the commitment he has made to every one of his people. Not just to the public face and those in the public eye and those who are engaged in big things in the work and the cause of God. But God's eye and interest falls equally upon the most insignificant, the smallest, in the lowest place of any one and every one of his children. God's interest is not measured when it is displayed and deployed, but that interest and delight goes out to each one of his people. So to the eye of faith, there is this magnificence about the salvation of God that staggers the mind, that humbles the heart, and provokes this question: what shall I render to the Lord? How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? And this determination and this resolve breaks out. He says, yes, I will. I will do two things. I will love the Lord, and I will lean upon him. He is my strength. From this day onward, from this reflection, from these thoughts that he's gathered together for himself and shared with us, from this day onward, it's going to be different. I will follow the Lord with a warm heart, and I will follow the Lord with a willing step. What shall we give to the Lord? The simplicity of the answer is there for us, and nothing else needs to be said. I love the Lord. I love the Lord, and the word that is used here is a very unusual word for love. It's a word of tender passion. It's a word of intimacy. It's a word of a mother and child. It's that kind of devotion, warmth and dedication. That's what he says, I love the Lord, and I'm going to lean upon him. Perhaps there's these two words sum up for us the Christian's life in total. At least there's a good approximation to the Christian's life in them. To love the Lord and to lean upon him. John 15 talks about the vine and the branches. And is that not what this simple phrase in verse 1 tells us? We draw upon him. We depend upon him. He is my strength. Out of all of this that he's gathered together, then there's this, the determination that he shares with us, a strong determination. Now, we've spent some time on that quite deliberately slow, but there's other thoughts I want to take in to balance out and to fill out the picture that we've got here. Perhaps do it a bit more quickly. Not only the strong determination, but there is also here a very personal dependence. It simply comes down to that word that we find time and again in verse 2 this time. My. David knew his God in a whole variety of ways, settings and situations. After all, David has already been through so many different and difficult experiences, but every time he's come through them, no matter how varied, how intense they were, he never, ever, ever was let down by his God. And that's why he can pile up all of these arguments for us. He can pile up all these discoveries that he's made. He can pile up for us all of these insights into the character of God that he shares with us. But the important one always is, we said it this morning, we repeat it now. The primary one is that we should first of all know him as our Savior. That is the most important discovery of all. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the important thing. We must not lose sight of it. But if that's the start, David gives to us the discoveries that he's made along the path of the Christian life. He says, the Lord is my rock. God is stability to David. The image that is here is given is of a rock face. And the way in which somebody can go and hide in that rock face. And from that vantage point, they can look down on what's happening down below them. The ebb and the flow of activity. The pace of life. The Christian is still and at peace. The Christian is able to stand firm in the face of all the trials and all the turmoils that come upon us. He, our God, gives us that stability. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. Again, a different set of circumstances maybe gave rise to this particular thing from David. When danger threatens from any source, people speaking about him, people threatening him, people wanting to do him down and do him in, seeking to time him and betray him, seeking to thwart him and hand him over to the enemy. Danger from so many different places. He's discovered in all of them that the Lord is his fortress, the Lord is his safety. The devil will come and tempt us, try to insinuate doubts into our soul. The Lord will intimidate us with his roar. He will harass us. He will constantly come back to disturb us, giving us no peace. But for each and every one of these and many others besides, the discovery that we make is the Lord is our fortress, the Lord is our safety. Isaiah tells us he will keep his people in perfect peace as they trust in him. He is my God. He is my deliverer. He is my strength. He is my deliverer. We know this when we first of all come to know the Lord. We believe in him and he deals with the problem of our sin, of our guilt. And we have pardon and forgiveness from his hand. But that by no means exhausts this meaning and his office towards us as our deliverer. He continues to deliver us through the whole of our Christian life. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, 1 John 1:7. And that word cleanseth means keeps on, goes on cleansing. Day after day, that's what the Lord does for his people. He continues to look over us and to keep us through the Christian life. And the last enemy will not have the last laugh. The last enemy will not have the last laugh. Because the Lord, who is our safety and our deliverer, will take us safely through death itself to be with himself. He is my God. The different names given for God in the Old Testament are like windows that open up for us a particular aspect of the character of our God. Sometimes the thought, the primary thought, is God's faithfulness in his covenant commitment with his people. Sometimes it's God who rules over everything and everything. God sometimes in his power and in his might. Here it is to emphasize that God is almighty. He is over all and he controls all. We've seen the way in which that applied just recently when we were looking at Habakkuk chapter 3 and the way in which he trusted in his God even although everything was going against the prophet Habakkuk. Go back to the book of Revelation and there you have the Lord telling his church things that are going to come upon them in the days that were following in the first and second century, the way in which they were going to come underneath opposition and persecution. And what happens when you go into chapter 4 of Revelation and the second verse, what's the thing? What is it that's shown? What's the central vision that he sees? He sees a throne. With all of the trying and all of the testing that is going to come, he sees the one who is sitting upon the throne, his Lamb, his Lord, his Shepherd. All of these discoveries that he's made come down to the way in which the Lord is also, he is my buckler. Sometimes the Lord allows troubles to come into our lives. But when they come in for a very particular purpose. Sometimes they come in to refine us. Sometimes they come into our lives to strengthen us. Sometimes troubles come into our lives to draw us closer to himself. Troubles do come. But there are other times when these troubles that we see coming and approaching us, at the last moment the Lord intervenes. The same way as the Lord intervened and prayed for Peter when the devil was going to sieve him and try him and test him. I pray for you, Peter. The Lord is a buckler. The Lord is a shield to David and to his people. There are threats laid against us of enormous proportions. But it is only when we get to heaven itself that our appreciation will grow and flourish as we see how often the Lord intervenes to keep us and to hold us back from danger. The discoveries that David has made, the personal dependence that he has seen, the Lord is all of these things to me. With all of the variety of life, never once has he been let down by his God. Never once will we. The more we discover, the more we test, the more we find out about his care and his love towards us, the more we will lean upon him and love him in return. And the Lord will never, ever, ever lose even one of his people along the way. The horn of my salvation. The horn is a symbol of strength. There's safety there. There are threats, to be sure, but none of them will succeed, and not one will be lost. Just an illustration from ourselves. Our Mary and young Finlay has got cosy toes, and last week when they were down, the cosy toes went missing, and they were phoning here and there where the cosy toes were. And eventually it was discovered that the cosy toes were dropped as she was coming out of DV8 on the high street. Just lost along the way. But not one thing, not one person that the Lord holds precious and delights in will be lost along the way. There is this security of my salvation. It's not in doubt and it's not up for discussion. God will make sure that every one of his people are safe and will be gathered home to be with himself. Whatever circumstances they're going through or whatever they're enduring on the Christian road. Yes. Here we have more fuel to the fire of worship that David is bringing home for us. I love the Lord because he is all of these things to me. Very briefly, just in 2 minutes, what's the third thing that he gives us in verse 3? The consequence. He tells us, yes, of his determination. Yes, of his discovery, but also he tells us of his devotion. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. In the light of all that he's told us and shared with us, he has so much reason, so much stimulus, not only to worship God, but to serve him. He is, like we read in the Old Testament, in the books of Samuel, David is there raising his Ebenezer. And he is saying to all and sundry in a very public way, hitherto has the Lord helped me. He's making a public statement. He's giving a fresh testimony. He's adding fuel to the fire of his life. It's all been gathered together, and now it has an effect. Yes, it strengthens his faith as he goes into the future, to be sure. The ways in which God has helped him yesterday is the same God that will help him tomorrow. We can do that ourselves as we put our own name into this formula tonight. But not only does it strengthen our faith for tomorrow, but it also deepens our affection, our appreciation, our devotion, our commitment to him, our passion, our worship. we can take our faith out into the world. It's not something that's wrapped up in cotton wool and comes out one day of the week. We can take our faith out into the world, into the marketplace, onto the battlefield, into the ordinary rough and tumble of life, in a tight corner, into a hard scrape. And we can put God to the test time and time and time again. And every time we do so, we find that He is more than equal to anything that we face. This is our God, our rock, our Savior, and He is worthy to be praised. David has done it, looked at and reviewed his life, and as we engage in the same and follow his example, if we do the same things as he has shown to us here tonight, so we can come forward with this same testimony. Yes, verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And then we come back to verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. We will come to that same conclusion as we discover the delight of heaven in every one of the sons of God upon this earth. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, once again we have thy word and its richness for us to feed our soul, that we might be more and more like thy Son. And we pray that thou wouldst teach us and instruct us, that we might take what we've received from thine hand this day, and that we might be able to live in its comfort, but also, Lord, be able to put it into practice in our lives, and that we might know in these days and in these times the nearness and the closeness of our God with us. Hear us and bless us, we pray, and forgive us our sin. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, from the beginning of that psalm. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, I grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord, then did I call and say, deliver thou my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. God merciful and righteous is, yea, gracious is our God. God saves the meek, I was brought low, he did me help afford. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. Psalm 116, I love the Lord.